Wake up. Wake up. Niners win. Well, Niners lose.
Hoosiers. Well, Hoosiers, Larry. Hoosiers win. That's what we're here to talk about. Three straight hours of Indiana Hoosiers. Welcome to Niner Wake Up Indiana style.
Wake up.
All right. It is great to have everyone here. No more bye week blues to get you through. It is Titans week. Rawr. No, but Larry, I mean, this is it. We got four games to determine the entire year, and the 49ers are set up pretty darn well, all things considered. Let's reseed this bad boy. We'll talk about who's where the Niners are in the standings right now, what could happen, where they could slip to, where they could rise to. We got a lot for you this morning, but welcome everyone. Hit like and subscribe. It was a pleasure to meet a good big handful of you yesterday at Pig in a Pickle. Larry, congratulations. Great event up at Corte Madera, man. Jillian and I had a great, great lunch thanks to Damon and Mary. We ate well. We drank well. It was wonderful hanging out with you yesterday.
Well, it was great to see you. Thanks to your wife and you for coming out, and you brought the little guys as well. And, I would say we were there. I was there from, roughly 11:15 till roughly, 6:15 in Corte Madera. We had kind of had an open house meet and greet type thing, very informal. And I would say, we didn't do an official head count, but I just going through the number of people that were entered into the drawing. I'd say we had, somewhere between 75 and 100 people show up, which was definitely more than the first one. And I'm sure Damon and Mary, the owners of Pig in a Pickle, were thrilled. The place was packed all day with Krug Show fans and Niner fans and fans of Wake Up and fans of what we're doing on what we're both doing on YouTube. And I just want to say thank you to all those people because they're, a lot of people really do, the one thing that's very cool about this is that it's a community. But the other cool thing is, these people, you made the point. You're like, we are meeting these people for the first time or like the second or third time max, where they've kind of, been streaming our streams for a long time. And they,
some of them 20 years, Larry,
they're like, 20 years old. They know, 6 weeks ago, Damon said this and you disagreed and he said that and you said this. And, it's awesome. It's awesome how what we've created and the momentum is off the charts. And all I would say to anybody who's starting a YouTube channel, if you could see the difference, now this is, I think, the second or third annual that we've done. And I know you've done some Plus Manias as well. Each time that we get together, and I don't do a lot of them, so it's more like an annual for me, once a year, maybe twice a year max, but just because we're so busy. But you know what? Each time we get together, it shows me how much more momentum the channel has and how many more people we're reaching and how many people are real big fans. And they're young, they're old, they're men, they're women, they're, you name it. It's all walks of all lives. And it's not like you can be like, well, Damon and Larry have 9 guys between 45 and 52 that listen. No, that's not true. We have women and teenagers and seniors and people that used to be on the radio all day, every day. And now they find themselves on the Krug Show and the Plus all day, every day. So it's the evolution. It's the migration of the audience from, terrestrial radio and standard media means to kind of new media, if you want to call it that, or maybe just really, Damon, it's just as simple as this, right? It's like everything that you do these days comes out of the phone and emanates through the phone. This pairs to your car pairs to your phone. Your phone doesn't pair to your car. So this is the star of the media show. And through this, there's an awful lot of people that are watching us. So thank you to all of them that came out.
Through corporate mergers, I think it's only like 10 minutes before we're all just working for Netflix. It's amazing what they're gobbling up as a media company.
That's a good point.
It's great to be here. And what's really rewarding about meeting people for the very first time is when they show you how much they really are happy for you, like legitimately happy. Like, you know, rug gets pulled out of radio career. I really liked you. I thought you'd be out of my life. Thanks to YouTube, not out of my life. And it's amazing that we have this platform and this technology to just keep it going. And we thank everyone for being here. Thank you so very much. Hit like and subscribe. Like Larry said, the momentum is real. These things are growing. And, you know, you think you got it. You hope you got it. Then you go out and you meet some people and they tell you, you got it. And that's,
well,
that's,
you know, what was the coolest moment yesterday, Damon, was about maybe 90 minutes or so before you got there. A guy walked up and with his son, and they're like, yeah, we came out from Tracy. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. And people came from Seattle. So we had multiple people come up from San Diego. I mean, I just couldn't believe it. But
you had a guy from Thailand, Larry.
You had a guy from Thailand.
He didn't fly in specifically just to go to this event. Yeah, but he lives in Thailand, watches us in Thailand, watches Wake Up all the time, and our numbers internationally are huge just because of him.
Well, what I was going to say, this guy came in, and they were so excited, and I just happened to be right when my wife and kids came in. I introduced him. And the guy said, you know, the dad was probably, you know, in his 60s and the son was like in his 20s or whatever. And maybe I got those ages butchered, but they were, you know, father, son. And the father was like, you know, my son kept saying, Dad, there's this guy on the Niners that you got to check out on YouTube. You got to check him out. And the dad was like, okay. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, I was yeah, him. Yeah, I'll check it out. And then he's like, Dad, there's this guy. And then he's like, my dad finally had, you know, 10 minutes to sit down and watch it with me. He's like, oh, that's Larry Kruger from KMBR. He's like, I used to listen to him and Gary on the way to work every day. And it's like, so you've got different generations of people, you know. And he's like, you know, this guy, the kid was like, you know, my dad and I sometimes, you know, have a rough time bonding and talking about things, but now we've bonded over your guys' show and we really love Wake Up on Mondays and Fridays. And is Damon here yet? I'm like, you'll be here soon. And I don't think they were able to stick around by the time you got there, but that was really cool to see like a son, like, you know, like what we do on YouTube and never heard the radio, and a dad who's now a big fan of what we do on YouTube, who, you know, knows us from the radio. So good, great stuff. And thanks to everybody who came out, and it was a wonderful day. And we gave away the rookie Pearsall helmet, lots of Krug Show merch, ate some barbecue, hung out, watched some football. It was exactly what I was hoping it would be. And it was a really good time had by all. But let's just jump right into Titans week, because the Titans are coming off a game where they just lost, right? Didn't they just lose? Or
that's all they do, Larry. That's all the Titans do.
they lost in week 13 to the Jaguars, and then they came back yesterday and they beat the Browns 31-29. Shedeur Sanders losing to Cam Ward. Tony Pollard had his career high in that game, 25 carries for 161 yards. Ran for 6.4 a carry, Pollard did, and the Titans ran for over 5 yards a carry. So Cleveland couldn't, interestingly enough, Cleveland, who ran the ball really well at the Niners, and this might be a bad omen, actually. Quinshon Judkins, who was really good against the Niners, was held to 1.9 yards per carry. The Browns had no run game in this game, 3-1 a carry.
Sanders, I think, might have carried the ball better than anyone else. I didn't see an awful lot of that game, but his final numbers, very impressive. Shedeur had a good day, and that still wasn't enough to get the – Here's the thing. I don't think the Titans were going to win one or two more games, so I'm glad they got it out of the way. And I actually think that it's a good thing for the 49ers. It just lets them know, not that they need to know this. They know this. They're all pros. They're in this league. They live there. They get their mail there. We don't. They know that even bad football teams are good, and even bad football teams can come up and bite you. This, I think, if there was going to be any eye off the ball on the Tennessee Titans, helps them refocus. I think that Titans win in Cleveland is a good thing for the Niners.
Well, if they watch the film, and I know they do, when they see the film, they're going to see that Tennessee's defense got 14 hits on Shedeur. That's a lot of hits. 4 by Jahad Ward, 3 by Jeffrey Simmons. You know, this is a really good combination inside linebacker D-tackle and Cedric Gray from North Carolina and Jeffrey Simmons. Simmons is coming off a day where he had 7 tackles, 1.5 sacks, 2.5 two TFLs and 3 quarterback hits. Gray's coming off a game where he had 10 tackles, 7 solo. So 14 hits on the quarterback. So that right there ought to make you go, that's interesting. So we'll see. It's, you know, anybody can beat anybody. If you don't take your opponent seriously, they can beat you. You know, they've got some weapons. They can run it with Pollard. They can run it with Spears. Gunnar Helm is a rookie tight end from Texas. He's pretty good. Elik Amanor is a rookie from Stanford. He scored a touchdown this week. They got another guy named Shamiri DK, who's a speedster who played at Florida. And this guy can really get down the field. He's got 34 catches and 3 touchdowns. So it's a good Titans team, even though, I mean, there's some good talent.
It's
there.
Not a good
even
Titans though, team. It's not. Well,
no, they're 2-11. I mean, they're 2-11, but you know what? If you think that they're not a good team, you're gonna think again, because these right. guys, I mean, have, you know,
the
they
number
just,
one way
they
to
just
lose
played a team that you played, and they ran the ball better than you ran it, and they stopped the ball. They stopped the run better than you stopped it. So that should make you go,
Well, there should be
seriously.
There shouldn't be a lack of incentive for sure for the 49ers, because as I think both of our titles on this thumbnail allude to, these final four games are just the entire season plays out over the next month for the San Francisco 49ers. Just looking at the seeding right now where they are, they're currently the 6th seed with one more team in the NFC to play tonight. The Eagles play tonight on Monday Night Football. That moves them up out of the 7th seed, which now belongs to the Chicago Bears. Larry, I told you, told everyone watching, they were going to lose at Green Bay. What happened? They lose in Green Bay. Better team, better. The Bears are improving. There is no doubt. That is a, were we giving quality losses to NFL teams? I guess, sure, that's a quality loss to the Bears. But they went from the 1 seed to last place with that loss alone. Both the Rams and Seahawks won. So right now, this seeding stands at, it's Rams the 1, Packers, Eagles, Bucks, Seattle, San Francisco, Chicago. Now, the 49ers get back on their normal schedule this week. And I was, do you realize that if the Rams, the Seahawks, and the 49ers all finish, what, 13-4? I think the 49ers have a tiebreaker over everyone. If they all finish 13-4, they're the NFC West champs.
Well, yeah, they have the tiebreakers.
So, I mean,
they got the best division record. I mean, conference record is the big one.
And the 49ers control their own destiny. They really do. I mean, can they put 4 wins together here? If they do, they're NFC West champions.
Well, they're favored. I mean, they're favored to win all these games. And I'll say this was a very interesting week. The biggest happening of the weekend we haven't even discussed yet, and that was that Danny Dimes is probably done for the year. And so that makes that Indianapolis game
changes things
really, really interesting, because, you know, they were the team that you didn't want to play early in the year. Right. I mean, they were rolling. They looked great. They were rolling to such a degree that Chris Ballard traded for Sauce Gardner,
who's also hurt.
Now Sauce Gardner's hurt and they're banged up. DeForest Buckner is coming back, but you know, they're not rolling the way they were rolling before. And yesterday they went to Riley Leonard. You know, it'll be interesting too, because anybody who knows me knows that I was a big
Riley Leonard
fan. And I kept saying, go get Riley Leonard. Let him back up, because I just really believe in that kid's athleticism and his desire. There's something special about Riley Leonard. Now, he came off the bench yesterday. He didn't look special. He was 18 of 29. 145 yards, an interception, 1 sack, but he also ran a couple times. He's got mobility. But yeah, they may go from, you know, hey, you got to beat Daniel Jones, who was one of the hottest quarterbacks going, running, throwing, to he's out and you're going up against, I guess it will be Leonard, right? It's not going to be unless they go back to Anthony Richardson at some point.
I just don't think that's going to happen. It doesn't sound like it's going to happen.
No. Where is he?
I'm going to pay a little more attention to, you know, media in Indianapolis this week, just based on what the Hoosiers are doing alone. So maybe I'll know by Friday's wake up, Larry, what's really going on there. But look, I said back in October, that when the Colts were the darlings of the NFL, the early NFL season, and rightfully so, Daniel Jones was a great story. The Colts were a really good story unto themselves, and they had a reason to get aggressive at the trade deadline. I give them the credit for it. But then, you know, I told you that they were going to lose five in a row, because the Colts always lose five in a row at some point during an NFL season. It like always happens. Well, I might have not gotten that right, but they have lost four of five. And it just feels like, you know, it. Who are you at the point in the season that matters most? You know, are you really, really got it all pointed in the right direction at the end of the year? Or did you peak too early? Colts got peak too early written all over them, don't they? They really
well, do. It's the defense, right? In the beginning of the year, I mean, I'm looking at their game against the Titans, for example. They had four sacks in the game, seven hits on the quarterback. They're coming off a game this weekend where the Colts had no sacks and no hits on the quarterback. So, you know, they've badly, you know, their defense is not what it was early in the year. And, you know, I mean, if you just look at it, DeForest Buckner didn't play in this game. You know, they've got guys like Kwity Paye, Ebukam, Liatu Latu. None of these guys produced any sacks. So they had no, I mean, they were pretty bad in this game against Jacksonville. Not only did they have no sacks, they had no hits on the quarterback the entire day.
You want to talk about playing your best football at the right time. Look at what Cone's got happening in Jacksonville right now. They're on an upward trajectory at the point in the year where they want to be. You know, all the drops that Trevor Lawrence was getting from his wide receivers, they're actually catching a few footballs, and that really changes things for a quarterback in an offense.
Yeah, maybe Jacksonville. I don't think Jacksonville is going to the bowl, but I think Jacksonville might be able to, you know, to win a playoff game. I mean, I'll say this: they also have a real edge. I mean, if you looked at the trends in this game, Jacksonville has beaten Indianapolis in Jacksonville a ton. Like that's the regular routine for here. I have the number here. Jacksonville has beaten Indianapolis in Jacksonville. Let's see, a ton. They're 9-4. Yeah, 11 straight home win over the Colts for Jacksonville. So they've owned them in Jacksonville. But yeah, Jacksonville's playing great. They're 9-4. They've won four in a row. They're playing really, really well.
By the way, more bad news for the Colts. Guess where they are this weekend?
Where?
Seattle.
Yeah.
And I'm
Seattle's playing well.
Dude, Seattle's not just playing well. Seattle might be the best team in the NFL. Unless
I don't think so.
It is time for everyone to hope Sam Darnold turns into a pumpkin. I mean, and he might, that's kind of what he does in the big games that he's in, but dude, there's no denying how good he's been and how good they are. And the, you know, I mean, they stack not just wins, but lopsided wins, and usually on the road over whoever they're playing. So they're really good, man. I mean,
they've added some really great players. I mean, Ernest Jones, the fourth last year in a trade from the Titans. What a great trade that was. He's every time I look up, he's got 10, 12 tackles. He's making big plays. They drafted that kid, Devin Witherspoon. He's a tremendous player. Eman Worry, their first round pick from this year out of South Carolina yesterday. Six tackles, five solo. He had a sack. He had two tackles for a loss. He had a pass defense. He had a hit on the quarterback. I mean, you know, he's doing it all, and he's a gigantic safety. Yeah, they're really, you know what was their big thing yesterday is they got Julian Love back, and Julian Love is a tremendous player. Now, he didn't fill up the box score. He only had one tackle and one pass defense, but he is a huge key. Him and Jaron Reed got healthy. They also got a 100-yard kickoff return touchdown from Rashid Shaheed. So, yeah, Seattle. I mean, they're good on defense. They're really good on defense. They can make big plays on special teams. And you're right. If Sam Darnold doesn't turn it over, they're pretty good. But then you look at Sam Darnold and you go, you know what? If you look at his game log, he has games where, I mean, just this year, he's got a two interception game. He's got a four interception game, you know, against the Rams. So, you know, he can implode. We saw it last year at the end of the year, and we'll see. But yeah, they're dangerous. I mean, I guess I'd ask you this. Who do you want to play? in the NFC? Who would you want to play? That's like if you could hand pick your route right now, if the season ended, the Rams are the one seed, the Bears play at home against the Packers in the first round, and the Niners go to Philly.
Who I'm not afraid of that game. I'm not afraid of that Philadelphia game.
No, I'd like to go to Philly too. I think Philly is the spot I'd want to go. I think the spot I don't want to go is the Rams. I don't have the same fear of Seattle as you, but you know, whatever. I mean, they're no doubt they've got a really good defensive personnel and a great defensive coach. So, I mean, that right there makes them a problem. But yeah, I'd like to. The two teams I'd like to play are the Packers and the Bears.
Well,
the Eagles and the Bears? I mean,
who wins the NFC South?
Tampa.
Okay, I think I'd take that shot at Tampa too, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean Tampa doesn't look great right now. But Tampa also beat them, and Baker can elevate. They're getting Evans back. He's a future Hall of Famer. You know,
was it a broken collarbone on Evans and he's been battling back from or something? What happened to him? Is it a shoulder? I think it's a shoulder. I don't know.
Let me see here. But yeah, he's coming, he's making his way back. And they just elevated him off the IR, I believe.
An elevation sensation.
Yeah, so I'm not sure exactly what Evans' injury is, but he is coming back, you know, and they've got Rashad White, and they've got, you know, Baker Mayfield, and, you know, there's some good things about them for sure. But, you know, I mean, overall, you take whoever you can get, you know, whoever you get. But I'll tell you, I would love to see the Niners against the Bears. I'd love to see at Soldier. I'd love to see the Niners against the Eagles at the Link. I wouldn't mind going. I'm planning on traveling in the playoffs, and you know what? I wouldn't mind going to either one of those spots, even though they'll be freezing cold.
Traveling in the playoffs, taking a show on the road. Oh my goodness! Look at you.
Show's going on the road in the playoffs. We're gonna get with Claw Daddy Arcades, and we're gonna figure out a way to get the show on the road in the playoffs.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Hey,
unless the playoffs are at home, which still could happen.
Thanks so much, by the way, to Ike Sandwiches. I forgot to talk about my side of the sponsors, and Ike serves delicious sandwiches, and our good friends at the Dubliner West Portal. Today, I am your graphic. I will be representing the Dubliner all day. And, I also, Larry, if you don't mind me inviting everyone down to the Guardsman Tree Lot. After Jillian and I left you at Pig in a Pickle, we came back into the city over the Golden Gate Bridge and then just took a left, went down to Fort Mason and the marina for the Guardsman Tree Lot. We got our Christmas tree last night. Nice. And I'm going to be back there tonight, as a matter of fact, working out. They need a little help on Mondays, delivery Mondays, and we're doing a wing thing down there. So come on down to the Guardsman Tree Lot. Every single tree we sell sends the kids to summer camp. It is a great charity here in San Francisco, and I'm proud to be associated with them now for like 15 years. I started with the Guardsman back in 2011, and I love those guys and do great work. So come on out and get your Christmas tree from the Guardsman Tree Lot, please. So this is not my work. TFNFantasy.com. I'm not even going to tell you that's a great website, but I saw that on this. Okay. So they're one of those, you know, we've run this entire scenario through the computer and we do it with injury updates each and every week, and results matter. This isn't the computer data that was spit out at the beginning of the year saying, here's who might win the Super Bowl. This is updated week to week, and they re-scenario, they re-simulate the season 1,000 times and blah, 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 blah. Right now, the Rams and Seahawks are the two most likely teams to win the Super Bowl. The Rams got the Lions, by the way, coming up this weekend, so that makes that interesting. But the Rams are an NFL.
I like the Lions in that game. The Lions are hungry. The Lions need to win.
They do. Rams are an NFL best 29% to win the Super Bowl, with Seattle behind them at 21%. San Francisco, 1.9%. 11th in terms of all qualifying playoff teams, according to the simulations that they run. And I really mean it. Like, it's just a shame that the 49ers are having this punching way above their own weight class season because of all of their injuries. And the two other teams in football that are maybe the best two other teams in football are in their division. It's too bad. The Rams and the Seahawks both decided to throw down great seasons at the same time. The 49ers are doing everything they can to cobble this season together. So these final four really do matter. I mean, that's what's incredible. They are the one seed if the Rams, Seahawks, and Niners all finish 13-4. It's incredible that they have been put in this position. And to go back to what we were chatting about on Monday, how is Kyle Shanahan not in a coach of the year discussion? Like, he's just literally off the board. His name is not being brought up on a singular show talking about it. I mean, Vrabel's done a great job. There's no doubt. But what Shanahan has done is being unappreciated in real time. And that's a shame because this is maybe his best year with Saleh back at his side. The two of them are a hell of a coaching tandem. They really are.
Well, and history says that Shanahan's Niners are likely to finish fast. We had this stat last week, but it's pretty amazing. Shanahan after the bye with the Niners, 44-19. 2019, they went 10-3. 2021, they went 8-4. 2022, they went 9-0. 2023, they went 7-3. In years where they're pretty good, after the bye week, they're really good. So what if they, you know, and the bottom line is the bye was so late that now the 49ers are in their turn for home mode. And now you've got a Titans team that, you know, if you just look at those numbers, you know, the Titans, you know, they scored 24 points against Seattle a few weeks ago, but they scored on the final play of the game. Their offense has struggled a lot. And now you've got a Niner offense that is kind of cooking. And 9 of Tennessee's opponents have scored over 24 points. 5 have reached at least the 30-point plateau. So, you know, I think the 49ers are probably going to put up 30 in this game, and they got a great chance to win. And then they get maybe Riley Leonard in a Monday night game, and that's major advantage 49ers. Then they get a very young Bears team that is absolutely in an end-of-the-year gauntlet for the schedule. And then who knows in the last game against Seattle what that's going to matter? You know, that game's going to matter too.
It either means everything or nothing.
Yeah, I if you said to me, pick your most likely scenario, I would say the Niners go win over Tennessee, beat the Colts on Monday night in Indy, beat the Bears on Sunday Night Football, and go into the final game of the season. And my guess is they maybe lose that game to Seattle. I kind of thought that the Niners would split with Seattle, and you know, it just makes a lot of sense. So I think there's a chance that the Niners go 3-0. That fourth game doesn't matter a ton for whatever reason, and then they wind up going 3-1. So I'll say 3-1 in the final four. What do you think?
That's unacceptable. 4-0 is the recipe to be the one seed. So that's what they need to do, Larry.
Yeah,
that's what they need
to
do.
That'd be great. I mean, it would be amazing if they were the one seed. But well, you know, I don't really believe they need to. I mean, you want to be that one seed badly because the rest in the NFL means so much, and only one team gets that rest. And so you use one less game, you get rest, you're at home. You know, the road rolls through your stadium. You never have to go on the road. Heck, because the Super Bowl's at home, you literally would never leave your stadium the rest of the year. So that would be almost an unprecedented advantage. So we'll see. I mean, it would be great.
Is my beard that white? Damon looks like Colonel Sanders. Look, it's gray. It's normal. I'm not that freaking white. This isn't Santa Claus over here. Jeez.
Colonel Sanders.
Gosh.
By the way, for you younger kids, Colonel Sanders is the guy who's on the bucket of chicken at Kentucky Fried Chicken, which used to be called Kentucky Fried Chicken. It's now KFC.
Right.
You may not have been able to figure out what those letters stood for. It stands for Kentucky Fried Chicken. And the Colonel was the face. The living face, and now he's no longer with us.
Hey, he really reinvented himself. Like he turned into a millionaire when he was in the 60s, right? He's a late in life story. You know what? I bet you the Colonel got a lot of
earthquake. Was there an earthquake that we were unaware of? I'm not aware of that. He said,
did you feel? I haven't felt any
earthquakes. Feel any of those earthquakes? I have not. But there's many earthquakes that I've missed through the years. Hey, did you feel that? No, I didn't.
No, don't feel a lot of things. I'm kind of dead inside.
I have no feeling at all.
I'll tell you the most important thing that I think that can happen to the Niners this week in terms of, oh, look, he's back. Tatum Bethune, to me, he's the story of the week. Can he get back and get out there for this Tennessee game? If not the Tennessee game, hopefully the Chicago game, or the Colts are up before that, right? So Tatum Bethune, I think is... Tatum
Bethune should be back in 2 weeks, I say. 2 weeks.
That's good.
Not that is Tennessee, good. But maybe Indy.
I think he might hold the key to this defense getting through. I really do. That guy's a really, really good player. And you know, we talked about the chances of maybe seeing Fred Warner again this year. I'd rather see Tatum Bethune get 3 weeks of getting ready again for playoff football than dream about what you might be able to get out of Fred at the very end of the year.
That's a good one. That's a good one, too. I was thinking about that like yesterday. Like, who is... like the key guy or two down the stretch for the Niners. And he might be one of them, you know, because you're right. Fred's not coming back. Curtis Robinson is now dinged up pretty good himself. Luke Gifford is a good special teamer and not a good, you know, very much a liability in coverage. Nick Martin's in the concussion protocol. So, I mean, they do need Tatum Bethune to get healthy, get back out there and be that 15-16 tackle menace that he was there for a few weeks before he went out with the injury, and the experience will benefit him greatly when he gets back in there, having played already. But who, Damon, if I say to you, give me a guy or two that you think are vitally important for the Niners down the stretch. And I've already thought about it, so I could go first if you need.
So,
time.
No, so I got it.
Okay.
Go Bethune, number one. Okay. Number two, I'm going to come way off the board with number two, Brian Robinson Jr.
Wow. Are you banking on an injury to CMC, knock on wood?
No. I'm banking on him getting used to prevent that injury to CMC so he's not on fumes come playoff time. He's got to get involved. He's got to get more involved. He really does. He's a good back who is running with more yards per carry success in the last handful of games that I've seen than even CMC does. Use this young man. He's fresh as a daisy when the rest of the NFL doesn't apply to fresh as a daisy status at this point in the year. He's hardly been used. There's no way he's had 100 carries in a Niner uniform. No way. I want to look it up. How many carries has he had since joining the 49ers, Larry? I mean, have you got that? Can you come up with that? Yeah. I think.
Go ahead. You want to issue a guess?
58 carries.
He has 72.
Okay. Just a little bit more. Just a little bit. 72
carries. Now, interestingly enough, McCaffrey this year is going for 3.6 a carry. Okay. Hughescheck is going for -1.5 yards a carry.
He should never be handed a football. Throw it to him. Don't
Brian
hand it.
Robinson, on the other hand, is averaging 4.6 a carry. So
get him out there.
That would be great. That would be great.
Not only can he maybe give you a little bit more pop in the run, but every time he touches a ball, by laws of physics, Christian McCaffrey isn't. You know, and that's, to me, again, Christian McCaffrey and Dallas's kicker are carrying my fantasy team right now. I want as many Christian McCaffrey touches as I can get for my fantasy team, but in reality, as little as he can be used over this final four-game stretch, the better off the Niners' playoff chances will be, because McCaffrey is the most important man in the building. If you said, so over the next 4 weeks, one of these three guys can show up, Robert Saleh, Kyle Shanahan, or Christian McCaffrey. Goodbye, coaches. I'm going to take freaking Christian McCaffrey and some dude out of the stands calling plays.
Well, if they get a big in any of these games, they better get CMC off the field. I mean, they better get CMC off the field. But, you know, this is a very important stretch, because if the Niners can get through this stretch and get these four wins and have Christian McCaffrey healthy and ready, they will go into the playoffs maybe as the one seed and maybe with their key guy ready to roll, which is more than they've probably ever had in this regime. But I'm going to say the wild card. I got a couple wild cards on offense and defense. My wild card's on offense. Dude, we saw one of the most amazing summers this summer from Purdy to Kittle, and it was incredible. And then Purdy got hurt, and Kittle got hurt, and they've gone away from it a little bit. But don't forget that these guys were on an unbelievable they were headed towards an unbelievable year. It didn't materialize. But that connection between George and Brock, who both live, you know, in Iowa, they're a couple blocks away from each other and trained a lot in the offseason together and hung out a lot in the offseason together. Their vibe, their you know, whatever you want to call it together, is absolutely at the top, at the best it's ever been. You saw that when the Niners had 30 seconds at the end of that game in Cleveland and they had to move the ball down the field, it was Purdy with a dime to Kittle. I think Kittle is going to carry the Niners through offensively. I think Purdy to Kittle is in such great rhythm that we don't even really know it yet, because we haven't seen it really a lot, but we saw it in camp and we saw it again last week. So I think Kittle is going to have an unbelievable finishing kick to this year, and Purdy's going to find him a bunch, and I think that's going to be the key. The other key on offense wild card is Spencer Burford. Can he step up and be the road grading monster that he occasionally is? You know, when he's, you know, I love Barch because he's a little bit more dependable, but Burford at his best, I think, was better than Barch at his best. It was just a matter of, is Burford going to be at his best? So that to me is a big one. If you can get Burford playing really high at a really high level, especially in the run game, blowing people off the ball, he's a big physical blocker. I think that's going to be a key. I think another wild card is which wide receiver not named Juwan Jennings steps
right.
Up.
Anyone else?
Who's it going to be? Who's
player gonna be? Where
somebody,
are you?
It's got to be somebody. It's either D. Rob, or it's Pearsall, or it's Bourne, or it's Sky Moore, or it's Jordan Watkins, it's Jacob Cowing. Somebody not named Jennings has to be accounted for. Okay, so those are your key. Those are your wild cards on offense. My wild cards on defense, real simple, but to me, the two wild cards on defense are the two guys that they added. Keon White is playing really, really well, and it's obvious that he's a good scheme fit here. He's not old. He was a second-round pick. He's motivated. He now knows the defense. He's been here for a few weeks. He is starting to come on. And then Clee Farrell. Clee Farrell's got four sacks in four games. His career high was 4.5 sacks in 15 games. He's all about the W. He's like this incredible competitor. I think Farrell and Keon White, what can they produce as far as moving the quarterback off the spot up front? The young secondary is going to be young, but they're getting better. The linebackers are banged up, but maybe they can get through.
The safety play is what's changed that secondary more than anything.
No question. Those two safeties are balling. But if the Niners are going to win, it's going to be because Keon White and Clee Farrell, two guys that, you know, weren't here 2 months ago and weren't really, you know, Farrell was acquired for nothing. Keon White was acquired for as close as you can get to nothing. They literally just bottom surfed those two guys, and right now they're getting good production. So if those two guys can continue to play crazy over their head, that's going to be a big key for the Niners. If that happens, the Niners may wind up running the table and in the bowl.
Well, I think a huge if, because I honestly don't know what the player is. I cannot trust him because we have not seen him. But one more pass rusher for a team that could use one doesn't sound like a bad idea to me. Yetur Gross-Matos, will you ever be a part of a winning picture for the 49ers? Well, I mean, this guy has, I don't know
now
if they issued him pads and a helmet. That's how little we've seen him. But he's going to put some pads and a helmet on and I think be available for the remainder of the season, hopefully. What is he as a Niner? We don't even know. Chris Kocurek doesn't even know.
He's got a 23% win rate as a rusher, which is a really great win rate. Overall, he's playing well. I mean, he's playing the best ball of his career when he's been in there. Now, he's been hurt a lot. But, I mean, this guy, I think that's a good one because he was playing at a very high level. And if he comes back playing at that high level, that's going to be exactly what the doctor ordered.
Well, hey, exactly what the doctor needs is for everyone to tap like and subscribe. We've got nearly 1,700 people across all channels watching us right now. Thank you for being here. That's a big Monday coming off of a bye week for Wake Up. So thank you all for being here. Tap like and subscribe to both channels if you would, please.
This is a post-game. This is a day after show that we're not coming after you the day after. So
we are not
coming. You understand how it's a little thinner than usual. Sometimes we have 4,000 or 5,000 people in the room for some of these after the Niners have a controversial win or a controversial loss. But you know, we're going to be here today, this week, today and Friday. We'll do a Wake Up again on Friday.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's absolutely do it. To me, there was nothing more significant that happened yesterday than what I think we're looking at is, and I'm not saying they are dunzo level dunzo. If the Niners can have a bad year last year and bounce back to a good year the following year, I'm sure the Kansas City Chiefs have that capacity as well. But their reign of terror over the AFC West officially ended. They will fail to win the AFC West for the first time in a decade. I think they've won it 9 times in a row, 8 times in a row. They are forever in that AFC title game. I don't think they're going there this year. And the Kansas City Chiefs have looked mortally different and wounded since that Super Bowl loss to the Philadelphia Eagles. They have just not been right the same. You can say, well, Rashee Rice wasn't out there. This is bigger than just Rashee Rice wasn't there to start the beginning of the year. There are whatever it is that they used to have. Again, if you could bottle it, you wouldn't, you'd sell it. You never know when it is going to tap you on the shoulder to hang out with you, and you never know when it is going to peace out and leave you all alone. And it feels like the it factor of the Kansas City Chiefs, that's over. That is over. Mahomes, for the first time since high school, had a game with multiple interceptions and a completion percentage under 50% last night. And again, you got Travis Kelce, you know, as responsible for that third interception as Patrick Mahomes was. Bounced right off his head, his helmet. It was a bobble. But
he's old. These guys are old.
Yeah.
Mahomes is getting older. Kelce's old. Kareem Hunt's old. You know, all their coaches are old. You know, maybe they've lost a little motivation. God knows they got enough Super Bowl rings to stare at.
Dude, Larry, you can't stay
I'll tell you what I blame. I'm going to tell you what I blame. When you go against the football gods, you get slapped down, and they went against the football gods. They had a Hallmark Christmas special last year where it was literally a Chiefs themed Christmas special. It was one of these Hallmark, let's celebrate Christmas and then let's work in the Chiefs. And Travis Kelce's mom was in it. And this is trying to
capitalize off the Taylor Swift bump, right?
Right, right. Our heat check. This is literally Klay Thompson from half court, you know, just I'm hot. Let's see how hot I am. And when they took that one out for the heat check, I was like, man, this, and it also goes to show, you know, it's like an old buddy of mine who, you know, Joe Woolley, who I, did personnel with in the Canadian League. And this is a very good personnel guy who built the Eagles, you know, with Reggie and Seth Joyner and all those guys. He was the architect of those Eagles teams that Buddy Ryan was the coach of. And he was a great personnel guy and had been for years. And I had a chance, the luxury of working with this guy in the Canadian League. And he's like, you know what? You never stop. Your job as a personnel guy is never over because you never stop looking to get better. Because when you think you've arrived, when you think you're there, it's all a mirage, and you're not there, and you have holes. So when the Niners thought in 1989, oh, you know what? We're on top of the football world. We don't need anything. We'll just draft a scat back named Dexter Carter. Wrong. You know, when the Niners were like, oh, you know what? We're rolling so hot, so fat. We don't have any needs. We're going to take a kicker in the third round. You know, you have plenty of needs. Now, you know, it's amazing. You had no needs, and now you're here. It is a couple of years later, you're signing free agent defensive linemen, you know, and picking up, you know, street free agents and cast offs. You've got an entire defensive line now of cast offs from other teams that nobody wanted because you stopped drafting defensive linemen and started drafting Drake Jackson and guys who couldn't play. And then all of a sudden you look up. So that's Kansas City. I mean, you look at some of their picks. I mean, Isaiah Pacheco was a good running back, and then suddenly he's banged up and he's not good anymore. And then all of a sudden they got to lean on Kareem Hunt. Now Kareem Hunt's old. They drafted Xavier Worthy. Xavier Worthy is a go pattern guy, but I mean, there were better receivers than Xavier Worthy, but you went for Xavier Worthy because Mahomes said so. Right. So now you're listening to your quarterback, and you've got scouts, so you're not listening to them. You're listening to your quarterback.
I saw somebody say that Kareem Hunt has entered the Leroy Horde portion of his career, where he said, you know, the famous quote, like, if you need a yard, Leroy Horde will get you 3 yards. If you need 5 yards, Leroy Horde will get you 3 yards.
Yeah.
And that's where he is. He's a 3 yard fall forward, and the explosion's gone. There's no doubt about that.
It's awesome that you have awesome players. But Chris Jones, for example, you know, he's getting old. Now, he had a sack yesterday and 4 hits on the quarterback. But if you look at the year he's had, he's been kind of disappointing. He's not the same Chris Jones. Trent McDuffie, who's maybe the best nickel corner in the sport, got hurt in yesterday's game. I think he's out. So they're done. I mean, not only they're not mathematically done, but they're done. They're 6-7. They're 5-2 at home. Let me get a tissue.
Got a little beat up last night. I mean, that was what was as dramatic a moment in that game. Not only was the turnovers that dramatic, but they were just getting their asses kicked by the Houston Texans. I mean, you had some seriously rough play out there. That was the Houston Texans were looking to finish off the Kansas City Chiefs for sure. And they almost did. I think they have for the season anyways. Again, the 49ers, huge 4 weeks. It's the entire year right in front of them. Everything that they could ever want, everything that they could ever need is sitting right there in front of them. And if they go 4-0, there's a very good chance that they're sitting at a one seed. I mean, it's just amazing. It's amazing that they're in this situation. And again, the fact that Kyle Shanahan isn't even in coach of the year consideration is something else. It really is something else. All right, Larry, now that you're back, I got to pop away for a second.
What's that?
I said, now that you're back, I got to pop away for a second. Then we'll get into some bloopers, okay?
Yeah, I had a lot. It's crazy.
It's a big weekend.
We got so many cold days here now. It's California cold. So before you guys call me a wuss and everything, you're right. I mean, it's California cold. We're not talking about 15 or sub-zero. We're talking about 40 degrees and like low 30s. But, man, I've had this like head congestion for like 10 days. I haven't been able to shake it. So I'm blowing my nose left and right. So I apologize there. It just overwhelmed me. But yeah, this is going to be a very interesting stretch for the NFL, you know, because I mean, now to me, this is going to be a very, very exciting playoffs. Why? Because look at this thing. We're used to Kansas City. We're used to Baltimore. They're both on the outside looking in. They're both 6-7. We're used to, expecting like great quarterbacks who always be there. Oh, but Joe Burrow is, you know, his Bengals are 4-9. They're going to miss the playoffs. So you look at the playoff picture, the road to the playoffs, or the road to the Super Bowl in the AFC doesn't go through the Bengals and Burrow, doesn't go through Mahomes and the Chiefs, doesn't go through Lamar and the Ravens. I mean, the AFC quarterbacks in the playoffs right now would be C.J. Stroud, Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers, Trevor Lawrence, Drake May, and Bo Nix. You know, so it's wide open, absolutely wide open in the AFC. I kind of like the way New England's playing. I kind of like the way Denver's playing. But, you know, Drake May and Bo Nix are young, and who knows if they can do it. Jacksonville, Liam Cohen's interesting. Can they pull an upset in the playoffs? I would say they can. Aaron Rodgers is, you know, a Hall of Famer. Can they pull an upset in the playoffs? You know, Mike Tomlin, I think, is going to have tremendous pressure. I would not want to play Pittsburgh in the first round of the playoffs. Why? Because Tomlin, you know, is talk about him being out. Well, the stat they keep throwing out is he hasn't won a playoff game in a long time. I think it's like 2016. It's 2025. So, I mean, it's been a while. So he badly needs a playoff win.
Did you see that the Steelers just had like their first play, passing play? Like they had a 27-yard completion this weekend, and that was their longest offensive play since October. I mean, they just do not move the ball.
Well, so, what do you think of the AFC playoffs, Damon? Because Denver's the one right now. New England's the two. They're both 11-2. But they, as I just said, they both have really young quarterbacks. Then you got Jacksonville with a defense and they take the ball away. And a coach that's kind of fiery. You got Tomlin, who's super, super motivated to get at least one playoff win. You got Josh Allen, who might be looking at this going, hey, there's no Mahomes. This is my time.
If this isn't Josh Allen's time, I don't know if it's going to ever happen, right?
Don't discount the next two teams. You got the Chargers with Harbaugh, and they're getting Amarion Hampton back tonight.
Are they getting like three tackles back too? Because if they're not, I've got to fade the Chargers based on their offensive line now.
But don't sleep on the Chargers in this front. They're undefeated in their division. And they're 7-2 in the conference. They have more conference wins than any other team in the AFC. So they're probably going to be heard from. And then maybe the team that we should talk about are the Houston Texans. You know, we talked about Kansas City losing, but you know what? There was a team that won, and it was the Houston Texans. And the Houston Texans have an awesome defense.
It's scary. So when you were blowing your nose and looking for tissue, not only did the Chiefs get beat last night, they got beat up. I mean, there was some serious violence in that secondary. Rashi Rice got hit harder than the day he was born on his fanny by the doctor. I mean, he got blasted in this game, and they were just all over the Chiefs, just physically.
They've won five in a row.
Beating them up.
They've won five in a row. I mean, Broncos beat them. They've won five in a row and six out of – and what? Six out of seven. So,
look, you know, when you've got a good coach, a quarterback who can execute when he has time, and a defense like that, you will be in every game that is on your schedule. That's just what it is. They can beat anybody.
And if they finish, look at this schedule for Houston, by the way. They finish with this. Cardinals,
cake.
Raiders.
Cake.
Chargers,
not cake,
home against Colts and maybe Riley Leonard.
They could
easily go 3-1 down the stretch there. And if you look at what they've done recently, they allowed 10 points to the Chiefs, they allowed 16 points to the Colts, they allowed 19 points to the Bills, they gave up 13 points to the Titans. They, you know, they haven't given up over 20 points since the Jaguar game, and they beat the Jaguars. So, I mean, that's a really, really good defense, and we saw that up close. So, if I said to you, Damon, we're in a casino right now. There's the window. Here's a C-note. Here's $100. You have to put it on an AFC team to win the AFC. Who do you go with? Who would you bet on? Right now,
so I go to the window saying Buffalo, but in my heart, I'm thinking New England.
Yeah. You think it's a battle between those division foes, the AFC East Patriots against the AFC East Buffalo? Why are you discounting Denver? I mean, I discount Denver too, but why are you discounting Denver?
Just Bo Nix. That's the only reason why. And here's the thing. I don't believe
in Bo Nix either.
I don't think he's a bad quarterback. I can't, you know, tell me what Bo Nix is a year from now, 2 years from now. He is going to get better. He's on a good team in a good situation. But that to me is the difference. You know, you can say, well, Drake May, still a young quarterback. He's a young quarterback having an MVP season. I mean, that's what he is right now. This guy is very good. So I think Vrabel's got that juice. The Patriots just kind of are lurking, and they're just, they don't go away. So
they're playing really good football too. I mean, now the Patriots are starting to get banged up. So that's the only thing about the Patriots that makes you go, I'm not sure about the Patriots, because they're now starting to get a little bit banged up on both offensive and defensive lines. But man, New England has been really, really good. And let's see what they've won. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. They've won 10 in a row. And New England gets Buffalo next week. Then they at the Ravens, at the Jets, home against Dolphins. So New England's playing really well, really well. And they're not giving – their defensive secondary is tremendous. Their special teams are good. And Drake May is playing great. I'll just say this about the AFC playoffs. If I was, I'd probably put money. Gosh, this is so tough. Let me see how the matchups are going to go. Denver's going to get right now. Denver's the one. So it would be new. The matchups, if it were today, would be Houston at New England. Who wins there? Probably New England.
I mean, yeah, New England will be favored in that game, especially with it being a home game. But I don't think that the Texans cannot win that game. When you have the best defense in a game, you can win that game. Period.
Right. Oh yeah, the Texans could wind up in the bowl because of that defense. Then you got Chargers of the sixth seed. They would play at Jacksonville, the three. I would probably go with the Chargers on the road there, but that's a coin flip. Then there's Bills in Pittsburgh against Aaron Rodgers, and I would go with Bills.
That's got to be the Bills. If it's not, again, people are getting fired.
Yeah, I kind of see you. I kind of agree with you. I discount Denver. Granted, sorry, Denver fans, but I don't really believe in Rodgers at this point to be able to lead any kind of playoff push. I do agree with you that the Chargers are just a little too decimated by injuries on the line to really play. And now you got Herbert with a busted, didn't he have a busted non-throwing hand or something like that? Or he's got some kind of injury. So I would say I'll lean towards Pats, but I agree. I think it's Bills, Pats with a wild card shot of Houston. Houston has a shot. I wouldn't give the Chargers, the Steelers, the Jaguars, or the Broncos that shot. I think it's Pats, Bills, and maybe Texans surprise everybody and roll.
All right, let's take this thought exercise one step further.
Okay.
Which one of those teams would you be most afraid of if the 49ers were to circumnavigate all these problems and actually reach a Super Bowl? Which team, Buffalo, Houston, or New England, have you got a better shot of beating?
God. I'm going to say New England. I'm going to say New England just because they're young. And you know, here's the thing. There's a truth of every matchup. And some truths are that neither side will be satisfied with a loss, you know. But then sometimes there's the truth that one side is just happy to be there. And I think New England is that team. If they get there, they're going to be just happy to be there. And I would say, give me Drake May against Robert Saleh. Give me a rookie quarterback with receivers that are just kind of, he's got some very young weapons there against Robert Saleh and Gus Bradley and all that they could cook up. So I'll say New England. Who would you say? It's hard not to go with Buffalo, but Buffalo's not, I mean, if you look at Buffalo's team, Damon, they lost Ed Oliver. And they're not the same defense. I mean, they just give up 34 to the Bengals. They're not the same defense without Ed Oliver. And then their weapons, I mean, James Cook, Dawson Knox, Dalton Kincaid, Gabe Davis, Khalil Shakir. I don't like their weapons. I think their offensive line has taken a little bit of a step back. And yesterday against Burrow, they had one sack all day. So it was from Christian Benford, who also had a big pick six. So, I mean, they got a pick six from Benford to win it. But I think normally I'd say Josh Allen. But now that their defense doesn't look great, their weapons don't look great, their offensive line's backslid a little bit, I don't believe in Buffalo quite the same.
Here's the thing. I think I would rather face Houston in the Super Bowl only because I've seen Houston have so many up and down games. Yeah. Some weeks they look like world beaters. When their offense and defense both play well together, look out. The Houston Texans, when their offense doesn't play well, CJ Stroud is getting beat up back there. And he was running for his life last night. I mean, he really was. The Kansas City Chiefs were coming after him hard, and he extended a few plays with his feet and made some really nice throws, especially on third down. But I would take the team that I think has the greatest, like, variance in which one would show up tonight. Buffalo, steady. New England, steady. A lot of variance in the Houston Texans. So I think I would maybe take that. But I wouldn't want to see the best defense in the NFL in a Super Bowl under any circumstances. But I think that they have the most could go bad offensively factor. So I think I would take a shot at them.
Yeah. That's
what I do know, Larry, is that we got some supers in here. And yeah, then there are like one or two other things that, because it was a bye week, I think we have the right to get into here today about some Bay Area sports topics that aren't the Niners. But let's hop into these supers first and then kind of wrap it up with a nice
sounds bowl. Good. Yeah, and then I'm off to Santa Clara for a little practice, a little open locker room. All right, Bill Kennedy says, will the IU coach go to the NFL in the future?
Here's the thing. Signetti's just old enough, and he's just found his nirvana. I think he's a guy who knows I'm not going to walk away from a really good situation that they'll basically, I mean, he's already in gold-plated statue territory in Indiana. Like, they're talking about Signetti, and Bob Knight is the second greatest coach in the history of Indiana University right now based on what Signetti's done. I don't think he's going anywhere. He's got the money, and he's also got the I'm not looking for my next opportunity age thing going for him. I don't think he goes anywhere. I think he is going to coach his final game in Bloomington. And he's happy.
Didn't he just sign a major deal?
Larry, he has signed three contracts before he has coached 26 games for the Hoosiers.
Yeah, he's got a great new deal. So I don't think he's going anywhere. And You know what? Why would you go anywhere when you have that kind of, when you got that kind of success going on right now? You just stay where you're at. Just stay where you're at. That would be my thought on him. You never know. Because he could get a job in 10 days. You know what I mean? It's right. Like somebody could write a big fat check.
He's enough of an old school soul of a coach to, I just think, know that, yeah, I've reached my point on the map. There's no reason for my journey to continue beyond this. I'm happy. I'm here. And by the way, $11.5 million spends really well in Bloomington, Indiana. Oh my God,
man, you can get the best bug zapper there is back there for that, but of course you're going to need it. Fuji Simeon says, congrats on IU beating Ohio State. Can they win it all?
Yes.
How great was that Fernando Mendoza interview in the post game?
I mean, let me tell you, he's all media polished up. He's ready to be the number one pick in the draft.
That was a great effort by Indiana's defense. They really shut down Ohio State's high-powered offense. Ben Diesel says, hey, Damon, congrats on Indiana's big dub.
Thank you. I tell you, my phone shook on Saturday night in a way that is not shook in years. I had at least, I don't know, a couple hundred people reach out to me, and then thousands more on social media. And thank you. This is the happiest I've ever been in my football life right now. Our moms, Larry, your mom, my mom, teaming up together had a better chance of winning women's paired, double paired figure skating or an Olympic medal in synchronized swimming. You and I had a better chance of winning the Indianapolis 500 in a Prius than what the Hoosiers just have accomplished. It's amazing. It's unprecedented.
It is great. It is great. They've been bad for a long time, and you know, Anthony Thompson in like 88 or something, the last time
that was it.
You know, it's been a long time. It's been a long time. Chudley, your thoughts on Jeff Kent to Cooperstown. We also have this one from PWS. Thoughts on Kent making the Hall of Fame and not Barry Bonds. Okay, yeah, we got two on the same topic there.
Yeah.
I mean, my thoughts are, you know, a little bit more complicated, but I'll, as far as, you know, I got nothing against Jeff Kent's candidacy for the Hall of Fame. He's one of the greatest offensive second basemen of all time. He's got power. He did it. It was legitimate. It's not like he doesn't, there's nothing about his candidacy that's illegitimate. Okay. So do not take this as Jeff Kent's candidacy is illegitimate. But it's a total fucking joke when Jeff Kent is a Hall of Famer, but Barry Bonds, who was infinitely superior and was often intentionally walked so that you could pitch to this future Hall of Famer, Jeff Kent, and Bonds is not in. And it just highlights an issue that is rarely discussed because there's no motivation to discuss it. Nobody outside of baseball gives a shit. And nobody in baseball wants to talk about it because they know it's a death topic that makes baseball and its leadership look like buffoons. So nobody talks about it. People who don't like baseball don't talk about it because they don't give a shit. And people that do like baseball don't talk about it because they feel like it shows badly on the sport. So guess what we have? We have a gigantic, important topic that is vitally important to our world as far as these conversations go, and nobody wants to talk about it. And
it was like a big Disney song a couple years ago. And we don't talk about Bruno. We don't talk about Barry.
We don't want to talk about steroids. And yeah. It's like Major League Baseball has been on the wrong side of the steroid issue since the onset of it. Buzz Selig openly lied about what he knew about steroids, and Howard Bryant nailed him to a cross in the book Juicing the Game. He basically acknowledged he showed internal MLB memos in that book of Bud calling meetings to discuss steroid use. And this was, you know, years before, you know, he claimed when people were chanting steroids at Jose Canseco at Fenway Park, that was the first he had ever known of steroids. And that was a lie.
Bullshit.
And Howard caught him in that lie because he found the internal memos that Bud had meetings about steroids. So Bud's a lying sack of shit. All right. That's it. He openly lied about his knowledge of the scope of steroid use within the game. It was all detailed in the Howard Bryant.
The dirty secret is that steroids were in baseball because baseball wanted them there. Baseball plays this is the worst thing to ever happen. Meanwhile, they were ringing that cash register harder than they had since the strike. They knew that chicks dug the long ball and they weren't going to mess with that, right? I mean, they were campaigning around.
They looked the other way.
Exactly, they
did. And then Major League Baseball, you know, steroids were illegal in the country, but they weren't illegal within baseball. So baseball was super late to adopt any PED testing because the leadership of baseball is a used car salesman, literally, in Bud Selig. So they just, for years, it was basically just the Wild West as far as these substances were concerned. Use them at your own risk. Use them at your own gain. There are no rules on the books. It's like the Wild West. In this country, before laws were on the books in the old Wild West, you could shoot somebody in the middle of town. You weren't going to jail. It was the Wild West. There were no laws on the books. You did whatever the fuck you wanted to do. So,
by the way, we could keep going about that. You and I could do an entire 24 hour.
I just want to say that Bud Selig never dealt with it. Never dealt with the issue. The Major League Baseball has been rudderless on this. He never made any official statement. He never provided any guidance. He never abolished any record due to steroid use. No fan was ever refunded a single penny. As far as MLB is concerned, their public stance on the era is that it was all legit and shrug your shoulders. But there's a problem. And the problem is the Hall of Fame. And now Bud Selig's lack of leadership has made that Hall of Fame totally useless and
which
total mess. But he currently now we currently presume PED innocence and guilt on based on, you know, players based on nothing. Some dirty guys are already in the Hall of Fame. Some clean guys are probably going to be kept out because of PED suspicions. And Bud Selig's salary skyrocketed to $50+ million as baseball got all this extra popularity on the bloated steroid players. And then he presided over this thing, benefited from it. And then he ultimately got himself into the Hall of Fame while simultaneously framing the guys who are real talents, Bonds and Clemens, and making them some cautionary tale in the ugly face of MLB's steroid era. And now they want to turn the page. So if you're a young Giants fan sitting there going, why is Bonds out, but Kent is in? I made the point yesterday on Twitter. Baseball lives by the golden rule. Those who have the most gold rule. In a just world, Bonds and Clemens would be in the Hall of Fame because they were clear Hall of Fame players with Hall of Fame statistical resumes.
Or in a just world, Barry Bonds would be a unanimous first ballot Hall of Famer.
And but even with the Hall, even with the steroids, he belongs in the Hall of Fame. Selig, as the top MLB executive, the guy who actually had the power to enact change and could have dealt with this, should wear the scarlet letter of shame forever for the steroid era, because he presided over it and benefited the most from it. But well, instead, he's got all of his buddies, and he slides into the Hall of Fame, and there's no dirt on the car salesman. And Clemens and Bonds, who were easily some of the greatest talents who have ever played this game in the history of the game, they're framed on the outside looking in, despite the fact that they were Hall of Famers and they used PEDs. They weren't Hall of Famers because they use PEDs.
All and I can tell you right now is that the sanctimonious writers, who are the biggest group of fart-sniffing douchebags in all of sports, baseball writers, they are such hypocrites. If they liked you and you did steroids, yeah, you're in the Hall. You're
David
in the,
Ortiz.
David Ortiz is in the Hall of Fame and Barry Bonds isn't. That's all you need to know. Both steroids guys, one much better than the other, but one was beloved. And let me tell you.
And the one's absurd. One, I mean, Bonds did use roids for sure, but I'm not suggesting he didn't. But all of the things are circumstantial. It's like, well, he said to this person that he used this substance and the Fed said that was the cream and the clear. I mean, there's a little bit of a twist and turn to get the guilt on Bonds. David Ortiz was tested positive. And he's in because he said, this is our fucking city. Ugh. And all these people in Boston love him. Well, guess what? It's not supposed to be a popularity contest. It's wrong. I mean, he's a dirty roid cheat and he's in, and Bonds and the other dirty roid cheats have been framed and they're out.
And what I do know
David
is
Ortiz wasn't a zit on Barry Bonds' ass as a baseball player. And for him to be in the Hall of Fame is just a joke. And then for Jeff Kent to be in the Hall of Fame.
Take a breath.
It's offensive. It's offensively stupid. Nobody cares. And baseball can lay in their own feces and nobody cares because nobody's watching baseball anymore. We could talk about the Niners wiping their ass and we'd have a thousand more people here than if we talked about the most exciting baseball game of the year.
There's no doubt. Look, baseball numbers and viewership is coming up. They had a good year. That's beyond the point. But this puts the Giants in such an awkward situation because they got to, at one point, like celebrate that now one of our guys is a Hall of Famer, Jeff Kent, everybody. And he's going to go in maybe alone unless the writers actually elect somebody this year. So, like, Jeff Kent being in the Hall of Fame isn't something that the Giants can just look past. And at the same time, as they tell you, oh, it's so important. This guy's in the Hall of Fame, the greatest player in the history of your franchise, not named Willie Mays, will never be in the Hall of Fame. And let me tell you,
he will be in.
No, he won't be. They're going to keep him out. They're going to fuck him.
No.
And he's going to be in
because eventually people are going to look at those numbers. There's, you know, the same way that Jeff Kent got in on some special thing. You're forgetting this. They're making up the rules as they go.
They do.
They're going to make up a rule as they go to let Clemens and Bonds in.
They've already made up the rules as they go to make sure they don't get in. And that's right. Where it stands right now. And unless something changes, I got it for you right here. Based on a new rule introduced earlier this year, Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds, and who else was it? Gary Sheffield, somebody else was there, but all four will be ineligible unless they get more than five votes by the 16-member Contemporary Baseball Era Committee. And Bonds got fewer than five votes. Roger Clemens, too. If they get fewer than five votes again next year, neither guy can be on a ballot again until the year 2032.
I'm just saying, they're eventually going to be in there because they had Hall of Fame resumes, and eventually the people are going to get away from the emotion. Plus, the other thing is, these substances, right now, we look at them as evil. But who knows what we're going to look at HGH as 20, 30, 40 years from now.
What I saw yesterday's steroids is tomorrow's Flintstones chewable vitamin. So
we don't know. I mean, I'm just saying that these substances right now are thought to be, you know, evil, but right. I think you're going to see over time people change their stance on that.
I'm going to be talking a little bit more about this on my 11 o'clock show. We're actually going to start that show talking about the Warriors and the Kuminga situation, and just that divorce is needed. It's time. This is ridiculous. But one last thing on Jeff Kent. When given a chance to throw Barry Bonds a freaking life preserver, he threw him an anvil. Did you see Jeff Kent's comments on Barry Bonds?
Yeah.
Barry was
teammate. We have it right here.
Barry was a good teammate of mine. He was a guy that I motivated and pushed. We knocked heads a little bit. He was a great guy that motivated. He was a guy that motivated me at times in frustration, in love, at times both. I don't think I've ever seen a better player play the game overall. But if we're talking about moral code and all that, I'm not a voter. I'm trying to stay away from all that the best I can. I really don't have an opinion. I've left it. It doesn't matter to me anymore. I know he's argued among a lot of baseball elites if he ought to be or not in the Hall of Fame. And if he's not, he's not. If he is, he is. It's not going to matter to me one way or the other.
Oh, Jeff Kent doesn't even care about the Hall of Fame. He's not a baseball fan. And Jeff Kent's a lying sack of shit. I mean, that's the truth. I mean, we can sit there. We know for sure that he told us on the radio that he fell off his truck and that's how he, you know, hurt himself in whatever Warsh year that was. And instead, you know, Sabian knew it and Coletti knew it and the Giants knew it, that he was popping wheelies down Scottsdale Road and he rolled his motorcycle and that's how he actually hurt himself. And we had him on the radio and he lied about it. And I said, Jeff, this is your story. He's like, yeah, I'm going to stick to it. So he perpetrated a lie, then went and doubled down on it, tripled down on it. He's a liar. So I don't think much of Jeff Kent. Fuji Simeon says Reardon lost their playoff game while SI won their football game. Ventura is next for SI. I guess that cat machine can't be stopped. Boo SI kittens, Larry.
By the way, Larry,
we always prevail. We always prevail, Fuge. Just got to remember that.
Should we go ahead and just golf clap Marco Luciano getting DFA'd too? There's another first round top projected player in your farm system who just does nothing with the Giants.
I mean, what an epic fail. Epic fail across the board. That's the Giants. Next time you are listening to some jerk off Giants fan, sit there and whack it about how great Bryce Eldridge is. You may want to remind him that Bryce Eldridge is going to suck. Okay.
By the way,
Bryce Eldridge is going to suck because that's what happens to Giants prospects. This guy was supposed to be a five-star, five-tool shortstop. By the time he reached the big leagues, he was a left fielder who can't field with back problems. I mean, it's like the Giants are absolutely one of the worst farm systems in Major League Baseball, and Eldridge is going to suck. I mean, I'll say it right now. He hit 107. He can't hit. He can't field. He's the most overrated piece of crap there is. They're going to trade him if they can. So you notice that when you talk about Giants prospects, there's two categories. Man, he's going to be great, and those are the guys in the future. And man, he's a bust, and that's all of their prospects in the past.
You know, do you want to go down the road of who was supposed to be's? I mean, it's amazing.
Oh, I can do it all day.
Gary
Kurt Ainsworth was amazing.
Sabian
told me that Jesse Foppert took his breath away. I'm telling you, Kirk, he takes my breath away. Really? He's 89. He throws across his body and he sucks. Now he's a pitching coach for Marin Catholic. And this guy, the pitching coach from Marin Catholic, took their fucking breath away. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, the Giants, Gary Brown was going to be an awesome center fielder. Sucked. Jerome Williams was going to be awesome. Sucked. Kurt Ainsworth was going to be an ace. Sucked.
Kyle Harris.
Traded Tim Alderson for Freddie Sanchez? You idiots. Tim Alderson sucked. I mean, Giants prospects, go, if you sit there and listen to one person talk up Giants prospects, all you got to do is type in Baseball America any year you want. Baseball America 2010. I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to do it right now.
I've already done it for you. Are you ready? Here we go. Giants top prospects by season. 2012, Gary Brown, DFA'd. From 2013 to 15, it was Kyle Crick. He got traded. 2016, Christian Arroyo, traded. 2017, Tyler Beattie, DFA. 2018, Elio Ramos. He's still around. 2019 and 20, Joey Bart traded. 2021 and 22 was Marco Luciano, just got DFA'd. Kyle Harrison was in the trade that got you Devers, obviously. And right now, Bryce Eldridge wears the crown that never fits.
Okay. This is what they had. Now, you got to give them a full, you got to give them a, some of these guys, it's like they're still making their way through. So you got to go far enough back. So it's 2015, it's 2025 right now. So go back 10 years. This is the Giants' top 10 prospects 10 years ago. Number one, Kyle Crick, bust. Number two, Andrew Susak, bust. Number three, Kiri Mila, bust. Number four, Tyler Beattie, bust. Christian Arroyo, bust. Adalberto Mejia, bust. Jarrett Parker, bust. Chris Shaw, bust. Clayton Blackburn, bust. Sam Coonrod, bust. That's their top 10 prospects. They're all busts. They're all busts. They you know, Crick, Susak, Mella. I mean, you name it. They've been doing it wrong for years. Anyway,
and now we roll along.
Back to more pleasant topics. Mark Gravy Graves, what's up, Graves? He says, "How was the turnout at Pig in a Pickle, dude? It was fat. I mean, I would say the last one we did, we had about 30 people, maybe 40 people. This one, over the course of the day, I'd say we had closer to 100 people." The place is small, so it's hard to gauge, but I counted 78 people we did a little thing for the Ricky Pearsall helmet. So there were 78 people that put their names in, and there were definitely at least 10 or 12 people that didn't put their names in. So I would say it was, you know, 85, 90 people.
It was a great turnout. It was a really great turnout. I'm happy for you. I'm really happy for, Damon and Mary up at Pig in a Pickle. They got good business because of that. They're growing, I think, directly related to the pub that your channel has given them. I was talking to Damon about his new place that he's going to be opening soon. And
Petaluma,
it's just great, man. I love to see small businesses succeed. And I'm going to tell you, he's got really good potato salad. I mean,
my brother said that yesterday too. He's like, "Dad," he's like, "That reminded me of mom's potato salad."
I'm
like,
"It was really good." Really, good. I mean, the brisket's fantastic. I had a brisket slider. I had a pulled pork slider. I had a bite of Jack's hot dog. That was a really good hot dog that he had.
Oh, that's great. And, you know, next time you go, you got to have the brisket chili because it's absolutely spicy, but it's got brisket in it, and it's just, you know, soft brisket and chili. It's just a different vibe. It's really the thing? Good.
So you got all your nice little spicy barbecue sauces, you get a hot link, and then you cool down with that nice, cool, cold, mustardy potato salad. It was so good.
Did the kids like the mac and cheese? Because white cheddar mac and cheese is a very popular.
They loved it. Jack crushed his hot dog. He crushed that hot dog. He's like, "Dad, this is better than the hot dogs you get." And so
there you go. Thanks, Mark. Good to see you, man. Happy holidays. James Foster says Texans beat our best edge duo and best trio of quarterbacks in the league. Yeah, they've got great. I mean, it's a rush and cover game on D. They can rush you up front. They can cover you on the back end. And they got linebackers like Azeez Al-Shaair who are running all over the place. Will Anderson.
He's a game wrecker, man. Azeez Al-Shaair is better now than he was when he was even with the Niners.
He's playing great. Oh, he should. He should be. He's now in the prime of his career. I got to bolt because I'm off to Santa Clara for open locker room if I can get down there in time. But so that's going to do it for us. Damon's going live in about 20 minutes, a little bit, about 24 minutes from right now. Thanks to Pig in a Pickle for being the title sponsor of the Krug Show. We should also tell everybody thanks to Sleeper. Sleeper's been a great sponsor of the Krug Show. Sleeper, you know, whether you're into fantasy or into daily fantasy and that kind of stuff, Sleeper is for you. I mean, it's absolutely fantastic. These guys do an incredible job. They've got the latest stats. They got the full breakdown. Sleeper has been fantastic. Big sponsor of the show. So 49er football season is presented by Sleeper, the fastest growing fantasy platform in the world. One-stop shop. You get blazing fast news, real-time stats, group chat, season-long leagues, and of course, Sleeper picks for daily fantasy. So use promo code Larry. Sleeper will match your first deposit up to $100. Links in the description, terms and conditions to apply. And also thanks to Pig and thanks to Habas Law. Love Habas Law. They're great attorneys. Habaslaw.com on the web, HABBASlaw.com, 1-800-INJURED. They will fight to make it right. If you've been injured and you want to win, there's only one call to make. Visit Habaslaw.com. Once again, Habas Law, they will fight to make it right. And thanks to them for sponsoring the Krug Show. I'm off and running to Santa Clara. So, Damon, I got a jet, but enjoy your stream at 11. Thanks for coming out yesterday with the wife and kids. Really appreciate that support, man. That was awesome to see you there. And we appreciate everybody who came out, man. It was a great day. And that's going to do it for me for the day. I'm off to Santa Clara. I'll be back Niners Nightly on the radio at 6 o'clock tonight. I'm not sure what we're going to do. We're still kind of putting that together. So we'll have a little Niners thing tonight at six. Dieter and I usually go live after the Monday night game, Chargers Eagles tonight. So we'll look for that as well. Damon, I'll give you the final word, and then we'll pull the ripcord.
Indiana, our Indiana, Indiana, we're all for you. We will fight for the cream and crimson, for the glory of old IU. IU, never daunted, we will not falter. In the battle, we're tried and true. Indiana, our Indiana, Indiana, we're all for you.